Oftentimes, we're defined by who we were, who we are, and who we want to be. Psalms, the first chapter, verses 1 through 6, explains distinguishing character traits of Christians and non-Christians based on their behavior and reputation. And now, part 2 of Pastor Jerry Seawright's series on Psalms Worship, Not for the Frozen Chosen, with his sermon called Blessed to be Known. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Holy Father, we come before you now. Lord, we thank you. And we do thank you, Lord, and we do praise you simply for who you are. Lord, we know we serve a great God. Serve an awesome God, a wonderful God, a loving God, a forgiving God. And Father, on today we come once again knowing that you have already shown yourself in the midst of your people. We ask you now, Lord, to bless them with your word, bless them with your thoughts, Lord, that they may be on their way in your direction. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. If you have Bibles, tablets, give you a moment to turn to the first Psalm. The book of Psalms, the first Psalms. And while you're getting there, I just want to recap a little bit and say, thanks to all the fellas that came out to the Super Bowl gathering. It was a nice time. I really enjoyed myself. I enjoyed myself even better that the Eagles won. And the food was good. The company was good. Even the catering services of Kelsey and Sarah were good. They did a good job of like making sure that sandwiches kept flowing and things of that nature. So, you know, every now and then you saw one of them come by saying, "Do you need anything? Do you need anything?" I was like, "Okay, all right, that's my money's worth. Yeah, I can do that." But it was great, and it won't be the last. I understand also that the women's gathering was great as well. That they had a wonderful time and good fellowship as well as good food. Amen. I also want to just quickly say and put a plug into Tuesday night service. It's a wonderful book that we're going through. I am a church member. And I would love for everyone to actually get a copy of that book in their hands. It's a good book to read, to go through, to understand exactly what church membership is all about. You know, the first chapter was saying that, you know, it's not a country club. Amen. You know, it's not a country club, but you actually are involved in something that is a body, a living organism, a living thing. Amen. also want to encourage you all to continue to come out to Sunday school as well. As a pastor, I took it upon myself to spend a little time fellowshipping with folks, taking them out, for a bite to eat, and share some salt, as the old saying goes. And it's been a great time. I've sat down with a few folks so far and just had conversation, and it's really blessing my heart. And so when you get a call from me, don't think it's something wrong. I just want to fellowship, all right? Just want to go out and have something. And matter of fact, it's not even going to be on you. It's not even going to be on you. It'll be on me. All the White Castle you want. All right. I'm joking. But it'll be on me. Amen. Let's get into this word. Word of God from Psalms 1. By way of introduction. There's a saying that goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And King Solomon in the book says that there is nothing new under the sun. And that's true, but yet, there is a cycle of life, right? There's a cycle of life, and in this cycle of life, as you go through it, things are new to you, right? Yet at one time you were 14, and now you're 24, and then you are 24, and then you're 24, right? Right? And it's just like a cycle, and in this cycle, within this cycle of life, no, there is nothing new, because when you're young, you will get old, right? Sometimes you laugh, sometimes you cry. There's nothing new within this cycle, but yet these experiences that you have, they become new to you, right? Like you'll never be 14 again. Right? And no matter how much you say you're 24, you're only 24 one time, right? So there's just this cycle that goes on. And God has ordained that pattern. And if you were to put this pattern like in simple terms or in a simple definition, it will say this: things either get better or worse. Nothing remains the same. And in essence, it'll either get better or worse. Each decision is like a deposit towards better or worse. Things don't stay the same. They don't stay the same. I saw a glimpse of the news this morning, and it was talking about a side of Detroit that Karen's mother lived on. She no longer lives there. But I remember when I was first going down there courting Karen, it was a different side. And now, all of a sudden, I've seen it on the news about 3-4 times. It's a different side now. Things just don't stay the same. They don't stay the same. No matter how hard you try, things will change. That cycle of life will continue, right? It brings to mind to me, like, if you just tried in your apartment just to keep, or your house, just keep everything as is, and you'd keep it there for years and year after year, all of a sudden, when somebody comes in there, it will look dated, right? it doesn't stay the same, right? No matter how much you try, things will change. And they'll either change for the better or for the worse. Your decisions, your choices are like deposits for better or for worse. Because in actuality, your decision and your choices will determine your destiny. It'll determine your destiny. You know, oftentimes I hear people and they try to explain themselves, and sometimes they explain themselves by saying, you know, hey, I ain't about that. That's not what I'm about. But then all of a sudden you run up on folks that will tell you, hey, I am about this, right? I'm about that life, right? Yeah. I'm about that life, right? I've heard that often, right? And that's what they say. They'll tell you what they about, right? And then some will even take it to where they will tell you what they want to be and what they want to become. And that's the pattern that this first psalm took. It first starts off by telling you what the blessed man is not. Then it tells you what the blessed man is. Then it will tell you what the blessed man will become, right? And in fact, it tells you what his end will be. But it also tells you, it doesn't stop there, it tells you what the wicked man, right? What the wicked man is up to, and it also tells you his end as well. There are three psalms that talks about God's word. It's Psalm 19 and Psalms 119, and then it's Psalms 1. These three psalms put God's word up on stage. It tells you how awesome God's word is. And the truth is, your relationship with his word really tells about your relationship with him. Amen? The relationship that you have with his word tells you about your relationship with him. Either you are getting better or you are getting worse. Right? Either I can explain you by what you are not, what you are, or what you are on the road to becoming. I can explain you by what you are not, what you are not. That's the first stop. What the blessed man is not. In the first verse, it says, how blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Right? See those? Not, nor. It's explaining to you what he's not about. And it starts off with blessed, just like Jesus started off on his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed. Blessed. This word, blessed, it basically means happy. Happy. Happy is this man. This word looks beyond your today. Right? It looks beyond your today, and it looks towards your end. It looks towards not only today, but what you will become, as we will see in the later verses. And regardless of your present circumstances, the fact is, you're blessed. You're blessed. And this word blessed believe it or not, it's in the plural. And it's got explanation points following it when you look into it. Because it's saying, blessed is the man. And it gets excited about it. It gets like it's not just a temporary fix, but it's like, blessed is the man. And it's plural. So if it's plural, it's saying, oh, the blessedness of this man. Oh, the blessedness of this man. And you need some blessedness, right? And God has blessed you, because Ephesians, the first chapter and the third verse says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You need blessings. Amen. And this man, this blessed man, is filled with blessings. God has given him blessings. And notice too that it says how blessed is the man. But then look at the community that's against the man. Right? The wicked, sinners, scoffers, right? It's groups that come after you, right? It's the wicked, it's the sinners, it's the scoffers, it's a community of folks that are coming after you to bring you. So you need blessings, right? But this also points to the fact that if it's the singular, as in man, it tells you that every individual, they for themselves, have to make a decision. No one will make that decision for you. You have to make the decision. Either you're going to be this blessed man, or either you're going to be the wicked. And that's how this whole book of Psalms starts. It starts by basically telling you that it's a decision that you're going to have to make. There's a decision that must be made. Either you're going to be that blessed man, or you are going to be that wicked man. You choose. It points to every man having to make that decision. He is blessed. And blessed also means that you are blessed because you are in right relationship with God. You are in a right relationship with Him. He goes on to say, He does not. See, sometimes you can explain something better by explaining what it's not. Like when you go to some of these really difficult passages, you'll see that some commentators will say, let me tell you what it's not, because it is so tough to explain. Let me explain it by first telling you what it's not. And then once you understand what it's not, it starts to turn your mind to think towards what it is, right? And that's what this psalm starts with. It started with saying what this blessed man is not up to. You know, in this age of positive thinking, you know, folks are scared of the words not, don't. They shy away from those because they want you to think more positive. But, you know, I appreciate signs like do not enter. Wrong way. Right? Because those things are telling you that if you don't go that way, it's to your good. Right? It's telling you if you do enter, then it might be bad, right? But that wrong way tells me, oh, okay, I see that negative word, but it's the right thing to do not to go in there, right? And you can tell a lot, just like some people, just by talking in the negative, it actually means something positive. If you going around and you see this, you know, this girl, and you come back and tell your partners, and you be like, she ain't ugly. That means something positive, right? Girl, he ain't ugly. Huh? That means something positive, right? We can use the negative to bring out something that's positive at times, right? And that's what the scripture is doing here. It's saying he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. This individual is not on an elevator that's going down. Because if you look at this passage, it tells you first that he does not walk, then it tells you he doesn't stand, and then last it tells you that he doesn't sit. So he doesn't start off with the walk, slow down with a stand, and then rest sitting. It's an elevator that's just going down, and this blessed man is not about to go on that elevator down with the crew. He does not walk. This points to the fact that this is not quite routine yet. But see, if you mess around with these ungodly folks, no, that behavior won't be quite routine yet. You'll have that occasional slip every now and then. You keep messing around with them, you slip. And then you slip again, and you slip up again. It's occasional. It's occasional. It's on its way to becoming habitual. Right? So occasional slipping is with this walk. But then, you know, it's interesting because he does not listen to. It does not get into his thoughts with the counsel of the ungodly, right? Because it's got to get in first, but you got to yoke up with them to even hear it, right? So it gets to a point where it's an occasional slipping as you go with them, and Satan is deep like that. He just don't come and just like pop you on the side here and then say come, but he just slowly sifts you. It's a slow sift, right? Peter, Satan asks for you. He wants to sift you as wheat. He just want to do a slow roast on you, so to speak, right? Until you're done, he can stick a fork in you, right? So he's going to start you off with just a little walk. It's just a little walk, right? Ain't nothing harmful about a walk. Come on. And then you slip. Oh, okay, that's okay. Come on, you slip again, right? But then all of a sudden, he doesn't stop there because, like I said, this is an elevator, right? That occasional will become routine. And that's when you stand. All of a sudden, that stand becomes, it's like habitual and it's routine. Rather than someone having to put it in your ear with the counsel, guess what? You can think of it all by yourself. You can think of it all by yourself. You ain't got to have nobody to make you think bad. I can think bad all by myself. Or is it I can do good all by myself? Or I can be bad all by myself? It's one of them Tyler Perry movies. But that's what it does. It gets you to a point where you ain't got to have no consultation in badness. You can be your own source of badness. Now you're standing in it. Now you're standing in it. First, you've become familiar with the activities. Now it's starting to fester, right? It's starting to fester. But it doesn't stop there, because it's like an elevator going down. Because the next stop is like at a rest. You're chilling. You're sitting down, right? And this goes beyond occasional. It goes beyond habitual. Guess what? You're one of them now. You're one of them. Instead of being with them, you are one of them. Instead of receiving counsel, guess what you can do now? You can give it, because you're resting in it. You're sitting in it. You know, one writer said that the throne of the wicked is parked right by the entrance to the gate of hell. And that's exactly what it is. You can dish out this death talk, this direction of going down and down and down. You know, it's funny how this society, if you look at it, the society like glorifies those who can tell folks off. That's the scoffers. That's the scoffers. This, you know, the quick tongue that'll get you towed real quick, like. They glory those folks, the scoffers, the ones that look at things that like tradition, and then they look at it and say, look at them, look what they doing. Look what they wearing. Look how they talk. Look how they walk. And it's just laugh at them. Look at them. So old fashioned. Look, so boring. So not today. You see what I'm saying? And it laughs at the things that are God honoring. Right? Right? You know, it's just like when you see somebody say, yeah, yeah, and you're like, look at that. Look at that. Hallelujah. Look what she just said. Right? Right? It's just like mother. My mother used to say, glory. You know, you got, like I said, it's decisions. Either one, you're going to go along and say, woo, glory. Or you're going to be like, she said, glory. You see, it's like, you know, that's getting on that road, right? It's getting on that road. So it starts with being familiar. Then it festers. And then it comes to fruition. And it just manifests itself in critical, cynical, cruel thinking. That blessed man is not on that path. That's not his way of life, just going down, down. And it explains what he is by explaining what he's not. What he's not. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 and 34 says this: do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded as you are, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's telling you that it's a consequence being around nonsense. It's a consequence to being around nonsense. You think you're at the water cooler just chilling and might be just, you know, chuckling at a bold joke. But then all of a sudden that joke kind of festers and you come up with one better. Right? And then all of a sudden you're known for the good jokes. It's a slow roast, a slow shift, sifting, right? Until you are all of a sudden just enraptured with that whole lifestyle, because with that lifestyle comes the mentality to match. What is contrary to something can explain a lot about it, right? If a person is contradiction, if he's contradicting to something negative, that's a good thing. Amen? That's a good thing. If he contradicts something negative, that's, in my book, that's a positive. Right? And it's a good thing sometimes to say what you're not. You know, it should be a good thing to y'all if I tell y'all I'm not on crack right now. Right? That should be good, right? How about this? I will not steal your car. That's a good thing, right? See, that's what I'm saying. So sometimes explaining the negative can be a positive. And that's what course this tells, or this is the course that starts off in this Psalms. You know, some folks get so wrapped up in trying to be current. You know, trying to be wrapped up in being in the in. And you'll see this word repeatedly, in, I-N. What a big word, in. And some folks want in on being in. They want to be current. They want to be cool. They want to be tight. They want to be like relevant, right? At a cost, they want to be relevant. But God has changed this blessed man where he's not going to pay that price. He is not going to just go down that path. He is blessed. Oh, how blessed. And he's got blessed necessities to go along the way. He has not chosen to go left, but he has chosen to go right. To go right. You know, one scripture says a tree will fall south or it will fall north, but it'll stay where it falls. Decisions are made each day. You're either depositing into the better or you're depositing into the worse. You're either like going down this path where you're like snacking on gossip, grazing on insults, and munching on telling folks off. What a diet. That's a diet. That's a diet, ain't it? Wow. And that's different thinking. But a more godly thinking will lead to different living. Right? The blessed. The blessed have been blessed because rather than getting familiar with the way of the wicked and then allowing it to fester, right, in their thoughts and actions, rather than doing that, they're doing like Romans, that 12th chapter, where they are transformed by the renewing of their minds each day. They got a different diet. Because that different diet is getting them to be more Christ-like, right? And once that diet kicks in, it will one day become manifest. And you will be like him. Scripture says you will be like him. But the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers, you know, they have their community. And that's what sometimes put the pressure on us. Individually, we see this community that we want to, like, be in. Because it's hard to, you know, to be not in. You know, it's hard to be not in. You see everybody like laughing at work and everything else, and you're just this Christian over here by yourself. No one else is a Christian like you. No one else is trying to be right. And you're just by yourself and you're lonely. Lord, send me someone. I feel like Elijah right now. Right? And while everybody else is grouping up, talking about, girl, we're going to go here, and man, we're going to do this, we're going to drink this, we're going to do this, we're going to go here, and we're going to do this, and everything. And you're like, I'm just going to eat my sandwich. It's hard being separated at times. Be it school age or be it adults, it's hard to like stand, right? But I read a quote this week that was interesting. It says, the righteous advantages the community at the disadvantage of themselves individually. But the wicked advantage themselves at the disadvantage of the community. When it really boils down to it, their community is not a community, because when it boils down to it, every man for himself. So their community, in essence, is a bunch of individuals. Whereas in the Christian community, everyone is one. We all are one. And that's a big difference. Because when you're part of a body, that body is one. Is one. It's a community that is an organism. It's a living thing, and it's one because it's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. Now we've gone through this thing of saying what a blessed man is not. Then he goes to explaining what a blessed man is. What a blessed man is. The writer moves from what a blessed man and what a blessed woman, I should say also, because it's just not talking about a man, but it's the blessed individual. Moves to what he or she is not, to what he or she is. When I spoke on this passage before, I took an approach from an old rap song. And that said, you can get with this or you can get with that. Right? And that's still true today. It's either you're going to get with this, or you're going to get with that. And I tell you today that even if you call yourself not making a decision, that's a decision. Things don't stay the same. Even if you call yourself putting it in park, the truth is, you're not staying the same. Either you're getting better or you're getting worse. Either you're getting closer to him or you're moving further away. It's like a boat on a lake. You put that boat at one spot and just let it stay there. And then all of a sudden, what ends up happening? It's going to drift. It doesn't stay at that point in the lake. It's gonna go. It's gonna drift, right? It's gonna drift unless it's anchored. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about an anchor. An anchor. And that anchor is Jesus Christ. That anchor is Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to continue this next week, and we're going to get into what he is and what he will become. But I want to leave you all with one thought today. And this thought is this. Is your BC different from your AC? Is your before Christ different than your after Christ? Before you met Christ, there was a lifestyle and a way of thinking and things you decided to get into and things of that nature that you were all about before Christ. But then all of a sudden you met him. And you said, I want you to be my Lord, and I want you to be my Savior. And then that was after that moment, after you met Christ. Is there a difference between your BC and your AC? Can we stand? That's the decision. And before you get into the richness of a blessed life, you got to make that decision first. Because that blessed life is for those that have made a decision to follow him, to live for him, to proclaim loudly that I am his and he is mine. He's my Lord and my Savior. See that that BC and AC, there was this great debate among theologians, and they said that, you know, you can choose Christ and he can be your Savior, but he doesn't have to be your Lord. And believe it or not, all the great minds came together to debate this thing. And the conclusion was, is this, is that if you are saved and if you are his, he must be your Lord and your Savior. And if he's your Savior, see, that Lord component, that speaks to your life. If he's Lord, then you're not going to live the way you choose to live. You're going to live how he prescribes, how his word details you, how he details it, how he lays it out in his word. And we'll get into that next week, because it says that he delights himself in his word. That speaks to him not only being your Savior, but your Lord. And I'm going to tell you now, if your BC is no different from your AC, then you need to make a decision. You need to make a decision. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to point out that decision must be made, and there are folks here that can help in making that decision. But whatever you do, I'm begging of you, I plead, don't leave here today without making that decision. Don't leave here today without making that decision. got to be a difference. There's got to be a difference. And the deep thing is that folks will see that difference. Folks will see it by what you do and by what you say and how you conduct yourself. They will see Christ in you. Your life will be a witness. Your life will be a witness. And it's a struggle for some. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. And I get it. It's a struggle. But God has given us all that we need to make sure that we will be prosperous. We will be prosperous. Your end is determined, and it's a good end for those who love the Lord. Amen. So whatever you need is at the altar. You need prayer, strength, whatever you need is at the altar. Make that decision today.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at nlccpontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you. We'll be right back.